your host, Eric Balance, and this is the Resilient Minds Podcast. Join me as I explore the capabilities of our minds and how our X factor can become our Y factor. Now is our time. Welcome, everybody, to the Resilient Minds Podcast. Today, I have a special guest with me, Mr. David Meltzer. I'm really excited. David, he's the co-founder of Sports One Marketing and formerly served as the CEO of renowned Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment Agency, which was the inspiration for the movie Jerry Maguire, if you guys have watched it. His life's mission, to empower over 1 billion people to be happy. This simple yet powerful mission has led him on an incredible journey to provide one thing, absolute value. In all his content and communication, that's exactly what you'll receive. This gentleman is an amazing soul. He's a three-time international best-selling author, a top 100 business coach, the executive producer of Entrepreneur's number one digital business show, Elevator Pitch, and the host of the top entrepreneur podcast, The Playbook. His newest book, Game Time Decision Making, was a number one new release, and David has been recognized by a variety of magazines as their Sports Humanitarian of the Year and awarded the Ellis Island Medal of Honor. Very, very pleased to meet you, my friend. Very good to have you on the show. Really excited to rock this up with you.
Oh, I'm very excited, Eric. Thank you so much. Let's make this happen.
Let's rock it out, man. So I'm really pumped. So today, as you know, with the Resilient Minds podcast, I always discuss the X factor, being our experiences of life, right? And how it's contributed to our big whys and how we can really create our Y factor from our experiences. So if you don't mind sharing and giving us the Cole's Notes version, especially since we got a limited amount of time, I wanted to identify some key defining moments throughout your experience of life that have helped you pursue this brilliant why of sharing and making 1 billion people happy.
I think it's interesting that you say that, because the experiences that I have are indicative of that everyone knows their why. Now, I think it's more important, and I hate to screw up the X factor, but I think the X factor is the what. I was blessed to be born into a situation where my mom was a single mom with six kids. My dad had left when I was five, because my what was to be rich. And what happened around that what is really what formulated the lessons in my life that have allowed me to understand the evolution of impacting over a billion people to be happy. And you can see the sign by Iconic behind me, money doesn't buy happiness. Well, that was a later lesson in life that I learned, because I always believed that money did buy happiness. I wanted to buy my mom a house and a car so bad that I could taste it at 5, 6, 7, and at 21 all through my life. I just wanted to make my mom happy, because she worked so hard, working two jobs, packing our dinners in paper bags to drive us around so she could fill up turnstiles with greeting cards at convenience stores, and always teaching us core values of gratitude and forgiveness and accountability, and teaching us to live inspired lives by being of service to others. Although there's some finite nuances of, you know, giving that I learned later on in life as well. So my major experience was being poor, and it allowed me to have this unbelievable what of wanting to be rich, and allowing me to develop a relationship with a currency, an object of energy we put into the flow to get what we want in the material world called money. And that relationship as well has evolved. So I teach people, look, everybody knows their why. Their why is to help somebody or something, but you really need to put your attention and intention on the coincidences of what. And it's okay to change your what, but I believe what is far more powerful than why.
Wow, I love it. I've never heard of it that way, and it's really unique way of perspective. So can you elaborate on the what? Like, because for anybody that's really thinking, is like, okay, their experiences. So what meaning what they wanted to create or what they wanted to emphasize? Do you mind elaborating a little bit on it?
That's a great question, because I think it's important that people take inventory of their values and understand where the what comes from. Yeah. So many people use why as an excuse because they don't know what they want. You know, some people, you can ask them what they want to eat. They can't decide on what they want. So I personally believe that taking inventory of our personal values every day, every single day, you know, what's important to us personally, our health, our family, love, integrity, character, our experiential values. So taking into account every day, what do I want to experience in my life today? Do I want to work out? Do I want to go to this music concert? Do I want to spend an hour with my kids, whatever it may be? Then also the what of inventory of giving, you know, what do I want to give? And also most importantly, receiving. You know, one of the lessons I've learned is, you know, it's not okay to say that the more you give, the more you get. I know people are like, what did you just say? That's right. I'm a firm believer in, you know, that's a damaging thought. The more I give, the more that I get, because it's trading. It's putting a condition and a judgment on giving. My philosophy in life is the more I receive, the more I can give. And so my what is receiving. I want to receive as much as I can because I have full faith that it's going to come through me for others with appreciation. I'm going to add my value to it and be extremely grateful for it. But everything, I don't worry about my bills. I worry about paying other people's bills. Everything comes through me. I live in a world of more than enough. So taking inventory of your personal experiential giving and receiving values allows us to know our what. And the key component of that, Eric, is saying, hey, I'm not afraid of being a hypocrite. So if I take my values today and I take inventory of my values, and then you run into me a week from now and I tell you, no, that's not my what anymore. I got something else I'm going after. I cannot be afraid for voting for what I want and to be a hypocrite and to tell you, you know what? You're right. I changed my mind. I'm a hypocrite because guess what? I grew. I expanded. I learned. And the people that sit there and hold tight to values that they had when they're 18 years old, I feel sorry for, because they haven't grown, accelerated, or learned anything. Life is about lessons, right? Pain is just an indicator. It's a turn signal. Pain is telling you, hey, change directions, dummy. You got something to learn. You got a better direction.
Yeah, wow.
Where you should get to. So, you know, whether it's mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, or financial pain, to me, that's just an indicator I have something to learn. And I got something to learn, which means I might have to change my what according to taking inventory of my values every day.
Wow. Wow. Amazing. Amazing. Like, really gave me just a really new perspective on understanding, you know, what is it and how to really take a look and take, like you said, take inventory of what's the next step? What do I really want? And the receiving part, the abundance that's created within us or through us, so that you can serve others or, you know, help others in your organization, through your organization, the way that you're able to and add value to them. I love it. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So describe the process behind how your organization is able to really add so much value, not just through obviously you, but through the ways that you're able to serve the communities and offer so much value to the world. And literally, it seems like everything that you're doing and touching, especially now, even as you build and grow during, you know, what's going on with the current climate, you're still able to evolve to the next level.
Yeah, it's having faith. And I know people don't like to interject faith into a pragmatic world. They don't like to interject faith into a monetization of the world. But for me, I have faith in the fact that if I'm of service of value, if I ask people how I can be of service of value and also ask people to help me, which is the hardest of all humility, is to ask others, hey, do you know anybody that can help me? So what I did is I created a mechanism in all different aspects, in person, on the phone, via email and media, radio, print, TV, social media, all of them. And my idea was I was going to create content for free in all the different realms in order to teach people or empower them one person at a time, not worrying about millions of followers, not worrying about any followers, but one person at a time, empowering my ultimate goal, 1,000 people like you, Eric, through all the different things I could provide: books, exercises, guides, free training every Friday of my life. I've been doing over 20 years, not for the same purpose, but now with the last 14 years with the ultimate purpose of empowering people. Because if I can find 1,000 people like Eric who can impact in his life, 1,000 people who will impact another 1,000 people simply to be happy by utilizing fundamental values like gratitude, forgiveness, accountability, and inspiration, the ones that my mom raised me on, understanding inventory of values and asking and attracting and studying your calendar and doing it now and practicing ending fear. Some real pragmatic tools that allow us to empower others Well, 1,000 times 1,000 is a million times 1,000 is a billion. You know, I literally can impact the entire world with a collective consciousness of abundance, what you were talking about, in order to be happy. And happy people don't get sick. Happy people, you know, they're not broke. Happy people don't attack other people. In fact, happiness itself is the greatest disease in the world. It's spread simply by witnessing it. It actually strengthens you emotionally, physically, mentally. It actually strengthens your immune system. So it protects you against all other viruses. So happiness is a powerful thing to teach people. And I use all of the different things that I have. I have the number one podcast, The Playbook for Entrepreneurs, to teach them to be happy by leveraging the playbook of the most successful people on earth that I have relationships with. And you're able to learn what made those people happy. And then I have Elevator Pitch for Entrepreneurs to teach them how to make more money, help more people, and have more fun to impact the world. Entrepreneurs will save this world. All the things that you see that are changing this world and saving this world are from entrepreneurs. What about that entrepreneur that figured out, you know, how to take a respirator and make it work? You know, there's a shortage on respirators, and the guy figured out really quickly, a great entrepreneur, oh, I can just do this to the apparatus, and now the respirator works for 9 people, not just one. So instead of, you know, the normal mind thinking, I got to have 9 machines here, instead, some entrepreneur came in there and said, no, one machine's good. We'll make it work for 9 people. This is how the world changes, right? And so I want people to realize that whether it's the books, the podcasts, the TV shows, the free trainings on Friday, my exercises, my guides, they're all free. You can email me right now, david@dmeltzer.com. I'll send you my book for free. I'll sign it if you want. I'll take a picture of myself. It doesn't matter, because you know why? I know that ultimately, that if I do all of these things and teach people what I know, and it can teach them to be as happy or be in the pursuit of the happiness by enjoying the consistent everyday, persistent without quit, pursuit of their potential, that eventually this whole world will change. One meager soul with one huge goal, right? One thing I learned that changed my life, I cannot out-ask the universe. I want everyone to think about that. Let that sink into your soul. When you think you're limited by something that you can, I want to make this, I want to do this, think to myself, wait. Somebody told me I can't out-ask the universe. So I'm not looking to empower a few people. I'm looking to change the world, to create a collective consciousness. So I'm asking the universe really big, over 1 billion people, help me create a collective consciousness of happiness. And let's let everyone experience abundance.
Collective consciousness, so profound. And you mentioned one thing where it says inventory of values. You touched on faith and humility. And how do those values show up in your work every day?
Well, they have to through assessment, right? So I have a process, a character that I've created called the Ferocious Buddha. And the Ferocious Buddha allows you to, number one, identify when you're in ego-based consciousness. So I've spent years identifying where I accelerate in the wrong direction, where I get in my own way, where I create corrosion or interference between me and the most powerful source of light, love, and lessons that ever existed. And not only me and that, but me and everything else, where I've created interference and voids and shortages and obstacles between me and everything else, all the people in my life and business associates and opportunities and things like that. And when I started focusing on that, I said, I got to be a ferocious Buddha. I got to, number one, identify where my needs of the egos exist so I can stop. Because in order to stop, when you're in an ego thrall, when you have a need to be right, a need to be offended, a need to be separate, inferior, superior, angry, anxious, worried, resentful, you know, all fearful, all of these needs of the ego, it accelerates us in the wrong direction. It creates the void, shortages, and obstacles. It creates the interference. And so I decided to change my resilient mind into being a ferocious Buddha. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to move in the wrong direction. I'm not going to create more problems for myself. I'm not going to do these things. And then I'm going to be a Buddha. After I stop, I'm going to drop down to center. I'm going to breathe, simply breathe through my nose, out through my mouth, till I get to neutral, until I can ask myself, why do I feel this way? What is it within me? Not without me, within me, that's making me feel this way. Because nobody can make me feel a certain way other than me. right? If somebody's attacking me, all they're doing is defining themselves as somebody that's attacking me. They only have an impact or an effect on me if I allow that attack to put me into the ego-based consciousness to create an interference, avoid a shortages in my life. If I forgive it, if I pray for its happiness, if it has no impact, I become invulnerable. I become, through faith and humility, completely invulnerable to any attack, because there is no weapon formed against me that will prosper, because I won't allow it, because I will just pray for its happiness. I will not allow it to put me into the wrong trajectory, to accelerate in the wrong direction, to create the voids, the shortages, and the obstacles that I used to allow it, because I am a ferocious Buddha. I will stop, I will drop, and then I will roll with the same ferociousness in the right direction towards my truth, towards my potential, no matter what occurs outside of me.
Wow. Tony talks about the decisions, not the conditions, that determine your destiny. And I really love that saying. And I think you really emphasize it in the whole thought process of really leading that way. He discussed, like, I've noticed in myself that, you know, we discuss centeredness, and he says stillness, and putting ourselves into this moment of, I guess, grace and gratitude is a common denominator among so many, you know, like-minded entrepreneurs that are doing, and this, you know, conscious creators or collective consciousness that we get to evolve together. What is your feeling with, you know, the common denominator, like that common denominator, versus the entrepreneur that is going out there just to take, not to receive, but to take? Because there's a difference. Would you agree?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's three different worlds when you're looking at the entrepreneur. One is the world of not enough. In the world of not enough, no matter how much you have, and I know billionaires that live in the world of not enough. I have one friend that owns a $40 million home in Newport Beach. He lives at not enough. All he has is not enough. No matter what he has, not enough. And that world is one of taking. If all you're concerned about taking for yourself, there'll never be enough, because there's always more to take, because there's an abundant infinity world that you live in. And if it's just to you as a victim in the world of not enough, you're always going to be a victim, and you're always going to feel the shortages, voids, and obstacles. You're always going to be not enough. Then there's another world, which is kind of a combo world. It's interesting. It's more conditional in its taking. It's a philanthropic world. It's the one that I lived in, where I had just enough for me. So I would buy things that I didn't need to impress people, by the way, that I didn't even like. I would do things with conditions and judgments tied into it. Everything was a negotiation or a trade. I was in the world of, hey, the more that I give, the more I receive. So it wasn't just about taking, but I would give so I could receive more, because it was for me. And then there's this world of, Eric, that you and I live in, and we talk about abundance, and a lot of people aren't quite there to understand abundance in its full capacity. But if you can challenge yourself to pursue the world of more than enough, to live in humility with faith, a world where there's enough of everything for everyone, where nothing happens to me, I'm never a victim, I'm accountable for everything that I have. I ask myself, what did I do to attract this to myself? And what am I supposed to learn from it? And I look for the light, the love, and the lessons, and know that pain is an indicator that I have something to learn. But I ask myself, you know, in that world of abundance, you know, it's not happening to me as a victim or even for me. So I don't need to buy things I don't need to satisfy an ego or satisfy people I don't like, but instead truly understand what I'm connected to, that I'm always connected to this great source of light, love, and everything in abundance that exists. And I'm allowing things to come through me with appreciation, the ability to add value, which is appreciation, right? A house goes up, it appreciates. So I'm going to add value to everything I receive. And then I'm going to give it the gratitude that it deserves, meaning the ultimate appreciation. And when you truly know what you have is when you give it away unconditionally. And if you really want to know what you have, give it away unconditionally through yourself with appreciation for others. You're affirming that a tree has no branches, that one branch would never go to war against another branch, that we're all connected, and that we will satisfy and give and empower those most relative to us and those that may not even be aware of us, that the more we realize what we're connected to and through, the more we'll have an abundant universe, this collective unconsciousness of happiness, of joy, of unconditional love, of truth, and abundance.
Wow, David, you've given us such an amazing clear path to abundance, to success, to what's next. What would you say is one reason why people would fail?
Oh, it's easy. There's only one reason people fail. And I'm glad you asked, man. It drives me crazy. And it's the story of the lily pond. This is why people fail. If I told you that your life, your goal, your what, was a 30-year lily pond, if I told you right up front, right? And every year, you're the lily pad. And you start year one lily pad. Every year, it's going to double. And after 30 years, though, you'll have 100% of what you want. You'll have your entire pond filled with lilies. The problem is that most people think that, number one, in year two, they'll actually be able to see the three lily pads, right? They'll see the growth. The other misconception they have is that year 15, that they'll be halfway there. And they'll be able to be aware that they're halfway there. Not true. When you're learning, when you're growing exponentially, when you're accelerating and expanding, which is conducive of the universe and an abundant universe of more than enough, an abundant universe of everything for everyone, an abundant universe of infinity. When you are in that context, we don't have the capability of seeing the growth, the acceleration. It's like watching your kids grow. You don't even know your kids are growing until you have to buy them a new pair of shoes and they don't fit, right? And then you're so surprised after 3 weeks. You're like, whoa, how the heck did that happen? Well, the same thing is true why people don't succeed is because it takes to year 29 until you're halfway there. In year 28, you're only a quarter way there. In year 27, you're an eighth of the way there. So what happens is we have no faith and we have no humility. We don't trust the fact that if we enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of our potential, that if we continue to grow and accelerate and learn, that very quickly, although we're only halfway there in year 29 and we never quit it, we're just 1 year away from being all the way there, or, you know, 2 years at 28. And what happens is people just lose the patience of faith. And if you can just learn to enjoy the journey, if you can enjoy the pain, if you can enjoy the lessons and find the light, the love, and the lessons and continually, every day, consistently do your best, you're going to only get to 100% of the way there. But in year 31, 200% of the way there. In year 32, 400% of the way there. This is why there's such a distinction between those fulfilled, passionate, purposeful, and profitable people and everyone else. There's only one indicator of success, and that's the ability not to quit, to be able to put faith in the things that we can't see, put faith in the outcomes that we want. Remember, our senses are weak. We don't see things correctly, smell them, taste them, touch them. We don't do any of that correctly. And even worse, our memories, they're so faulty. And so when we work, you know, an entire year, we feel stuck. Well, I'm here to tell you one thing, everyone. If you want to be resilient, then get used to being stuck. Because being stuck means that you're growing. If you weren't growing, there'd be plenty of room in your shoes. You wouldn't feel stuck in your shoes. But if your feet are growing, you're going to feel stuck in those shoes. And so when you feel stuck, double down on being stuck. You're just going to increase the amount of speed growth that you're going to have. So get used to feeling stuck and don't be that, you know, piece of grass. Oh, I feel resistance. Oh, I must not be there. No, you're almost there. Yeah. That's when you double down on faith. You double down on humility. There's two laws that will give you what you want. One is the law of Goya. All right. Get off your ass. Don't not sit around high on your mom's couch, sick and broke, dreaming about what you want. Get off your ass, find out what you want. Don't be afraid to change your mind, but go after it every day like it's your last day. And two, the law of attraction will start filling in the rest. What you pay attention to and give intention to creates the coincidences of your life. It's a mathematical equation. There is no luck in my life. There's only coincidences caused by my attention, what I'm focused in on, and what I'm doing the law of Goya with. I am full of intention. What I think, say, do, and believe, all aggregated into intent of what I want.
Bro, you just gave me goosebumps when you just shared all that. That was just powerful. Thank you so much. great insight, David. That was a blessing. Thank you, man. Listen, I know I want to really respect your time. Absolutely. And I want to really just, if anybody wants to reach out to you, really wants to know more about your book, about how to connect with you, anything that you're doing, do you want to just share where they can reach to you? And I'll also add it into the show notes.
Yeah, please invite everyone every Friday to my free training. They're 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. The replays are on my playbook, which is on every platform. The playbook with David Meltzer, Entrepreneurs, the playbook. My replays are every Monday. You can reach all those on YouTube. But if you have anything you want for free, my trainings to register, my books, my guides, I have a training module I'll give you for free, david@dmeltzer.com. If you'd like to text me, it's 949-298-2905. Add that to the notes. Everyone's welcome. I will not charge you. I'm like the monster at the end of the book. You're afraid. People are like at the end going, when's he going to sell me something? Not going to happen. I'm only going to sell you on happiness and empower you to be happy and empower others to be happy. Eric, man, I trust that you will be one of my 1,000. I appreciate the opportunity to share with your Facebook group, as well as everybody else that listens and watches to the Resilient Minds podcast.
Appreciate you, David. Last question. I'll add everything into the show notes. I'm grateful that you're able and have the time to come on. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
Oh, 3 days left to live. I would do as many good deeds as I could, man. I would do as many good deeds. I would spend time planning how many good deeds I could do. And I literally would do as many good deeds in 3 days. And that includes picking up trash, putting back carts, hugging people, smiling at them, giving my money, job, like whatever I could do. I would not sleep, I promise you that, for 72 hours. I would do good deeds until I like John Henry, just that last second of the last day, you know, maybe with my last dollar handing it out, my heart would stop. That would be an ultimate experience.
Amazing. Thank you so much, David. Do you have any last remarks, any last statements, any last insights that you want to share?
Always, really simply, please, everyone, be kind to your future self and do good deeds. Life is that simple.
Thank you so much, David. Really appreciate your time. Such amazing advice and great insight. We'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Anytime, Eric. Thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to doing this again, okay? Thank you for appreciating my time as well.
Of course.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Resilient Minds podcast. If you seriously love the episode, please be sure to share it with your friends and click that subscribe button. Do it now. As I continue to grow, I'll be bringing on some leading entrepreneurs into the show. So follow me on Instagram or Facebook and drop a comment or send me a DM. Tell me who you'd love for me to interview and who you'd like to hear more from. Once again, Eric Ballen signing off. And remember this, your X factor always determines your Y factor.